and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That portion of God's word which engages us this morning is drawn from the account in the book of Acts, which depicts the arrest of Peter and John for proclaiming in the temple the message of our Lord's resurrection. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they wondered, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the text. Two men were once traveling on a train in England. One of them stared for a long time at another passenger sitting quietly across the aisle, then turned to his friend sitting next to him and said, "You know, I bet you half a crown that that fellow over there is the Archbishop of Canterbury." So the next man said, "I'll take your bet. I don't believe that he is." So the first man went over to the stranger and said, "Excuse me, sir, but aren't you the Archbishop of Canterbury?" The man to whom the question was addressed abruptly slammed down the paper he was reading, glared at the questioner, cursed, and said, "Why don't you mind your own business and leave me alone?" The man returned to his friend in the next seat and said, "Well, the bet's off. We still don't know if he's the Archbishop or not." Now, of course, that story raises for us a much more important question than that of recognizing an archbishop. How, in fact, do we recognize any Christian? You might say, perhaps, that the rude outburst of the stranger on the train proved that not only was he not the archbishop, but also that he was not even a Christian. But we really could not say that for certain. He may have been a very good Christian, having, as even seminarians and professors do, an off day. In any case, the question remains, is there any way in our everyday life by which we can recognize a Christian? It is important for pastors and pastors in training, for whom the recognizing of a Christian often becomes a professional preoccupation. Certainly, there is no outward sign by which you can at once recognize the Christian. To draw the portrait of a believer is as hard as to attempt to delineate the features of our Lord himself on campus. You cannot, therefore, recognize a Christian by his outward shape. Nor can you discern a Christian by necessarily the superiority of his mind. It is not brain power that makes a recognizable Christian. In our text, we read that the authorities who had Peter and John arrested considered them, in point of fact, uneducated common men. And that is precisely what they were, these apostles. Jesus did not say, "Come unto me, all ye with an IQ over 120. It is then not outward appearance. It is not intellectual ability, nor is it even moral fervor or austere piety that makes us recognize a Christian. That seems to exhaust the option. By what sign then can a Christian be recognized? And perhaps the observation that it is hard, in point of fact, to recognize a Christian is the strongest clue of the solution I suggest to you this morning. There is a sense in which we are not meant to be recognized. We like to bundle people into groups. We are happier and more secure when we can categorize our fellows and drop them in an appropriate slot in our mind. Indeed, this is a day of badges and pledges and bumper stickers and affiliations. And to be sure, it would simplify matters considerably if there were some way of becoming a registered Christian. And obviously there is, in a way. Church membership involves public recognition that we are Christians. But church members do not as yet wear badges on their lapels to proclaim their faith. Church members and pastors blend in with the population. Unmarked, undistinguished, and it should not be otherwise. Ye are the salt of the earth, said Jesus. I know when I am eating a dish that is properly salted, but the salt is invisible. That other unsalted dish may look exactly the same, but the cook need not attach a label reading, this is the salted dish. The strongest Christian influence in the world, you see, has always been that of the unrecognized, the saints in hiding, as it were. These are people who need no badge. The distinguishing mark upon them is one that they cannot help and of which they are themselves unaware at times. It is the mark of Christ, the reflection of his spirit, the presence of his grace. In the words of the text, they have simply been with Jesus. And that indeed, on this Saint's Day, is the definition of a saint. That word has come to have a formal official sound as it is conferred on certain figures in Christian history and as their days have been incorporated into the ecclesiastical calendrical scheme. Or it is taken on a perverted connotation as in the word sanctimonious or the phrase holier than thou. But in the New Testament, it is simply the appellation given to those who have been with Jesus. Ordinary men and women, who with all of their faults and all of their follies, and yes, with all of their sins, have been united with Christ in faith and have experienced in their own lives the power of his resurrection. According to the New Testament, we are called to be saints. And this is a task that goes on in the silent depths of our being, when in one way or another we have been touched by God's mercy and forgiveness, deep within us there is a saint in hiding. There is no infallible external sign of his grace. The water of baptism dries on the brow, but the word of love and power that is accompanied with that water by the work of the Holy Spirit are in the heart. Think how often our Master spoke of the hidden, invisible powers of the kingdom he proclaimed. Salt, yes, it gives the flavor, it preserves from corruption, but you do not see it. Leaven working hidden in the dough. He talked of the microscopic seed that sends through the dark, damp earth the power that breaks into radiant beauty. When you pray, he once said, go away and close the door and talk to your Father in secret. When you give up something for the kingdom of God, act as if you had not given up anything. Again and again, we are reminded that it is not the outward sign that constitutes the quintessential definition of a Christian. Christ, in fact, dismisses all such claims for public recognition with the chilling pronouncement, they have their reward. What matters is the real bent and direction of our lives in that secret place known only to us and to God. If then it can be said that we have been with Jesus, have listened to his word, have bowed before his majesty, have been touched by his cross, have known something of the triumph of his love, then there is within us a saint in hiding, and it is not our business how or when he may be recognized. It is, in point of fact, even hazardous for us to think of that saint within at all. The moment we become self-conscious about him, he begins to stumble. Go looking for the saint in you, and he disappears. There's a vivid picture of that process in the gospel. You remember the story? Jesus calls to Peter to come to him across some stormy, treacherous water. And so long as his eyes are on the master, he walks straight ahead. And then he begins to think about himself. Look what I'm doing. Look at me, Peter, walking on the water. They'll probably have a saint day named after me. And look how rough it is. And look how deep and how terrible it is. Help, Lord, I'm sinking. In the Christian life, the advice offered to those who walk in dangerous places holds good. Don't look down. God will take care of that saint within. The mark of the Christian, then, is our genuine devotion to our Lord in the hidden center of our lives. It is oftentimes the test of solitude. When no one is there to watch, when no pressures are on us from the outside, when no one hears what we say, are we then with Jesus, relying on his strength, desiring his will? Now, to be sure, we will be wrong if we imagine that this means that our faith can be hidden, that there is no point at which we must, as Christians, stand up and be counted. There is a temptation for the church today, when world affairs are so complex and so disheartening, to seek a soft and selfish refuge from the storm. In other words, to be with Jesus is not an excuse to cultivate our own private spiritual garden. Whether we like it or not, there comes a moment and a place where our commitment must be recognized, but never as a tribute to our own virtue, but rather as a sign of where we are, and even more importantly, a sign of who we are. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and say, what a saint that person is. No, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is the inevitable result of a true devotion to Christ. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And what do we read about Peter and John in the presence of a hostile crowd? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the only thing that was recognized, not their power, not their degrees, not their prestige, not their appearance, not even their intellect. Simply, they had been with Jesus. But it was recognized. It is a recognition we do not seek. It is not self-conscious, but it is inevitable. So that from the day when Jesus hung on a cross and from the day when his first disciples told the world that he had conquered the grave, men and women have recognized him and those who have been with him, as we recognize two apostles this morning. We cannot help but be recognized, for there is no stronger power to change a human life or to deliver a world from evil than this collective witness of the saints. And that reminds us all, as pastors and pastors in training, for some of whom recognition seems to be an obsession, that the Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a witnessing instrument in the world, and the Church of Jesus Christ is composed of those who have been with Jesus, not in a sentimental, emotional relationship, but who have been with Jesus in the sense of having been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, gathered around word and sacrament, and who experience every day in the quiet of their own lives the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. That is precisely how we are to be recognized. Not by any outward badge, but by the compulsive infection of that saint in hiding. So it is that when we think of the work we go to this day, the conversations we shall have, our comments on the issues of the time, may we pray without affectation or pretense that it may be said of us, we have been with Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise for the praying of the Litany.